be a whole lot better place if we could ratchet that down quite a bit. And I think if you think about it, boy, it gets in a lot of trouble because it is such a strong desire. And as I was wrestling with that, I was trying to figure out why, Lord, what I came to was the idea of, he said, well, I made it that way when it was designed to be something that you would be giving to somebody else. It was powerful because it was between two people, and the power of it would enhance that relationship. It was never meant to be something you went after for yourself. It was like you were given this incredibly valuable gift because the other person desired it so much. That was the purpose. At the fall, we now have wrestling with, now I'm just trying to get it for myself, and that gets us in a lot of trouble. And we also live in an incredibly tempting environment. Temptation is way up there for us, right? We are constantly being tempted in this area. So the aspect that Kyle shared that to me is the best news of all is the idea that temptation doesn't mean you can't get closer to God. In fact, she said it's counterintuitive, but at that time when you're being tempted, when you're wrestling with desire, if you could then go to God, or maybe more appropriately, invite God into that, allow him in, you can actually meet him and get to know him better. Well, that's good news. And that's good news for our children too, because they are growing up in a culture that will likely be even more temptation than what we're facing now. We're going to continue talking about this next week because Hebrews, the next part of Hebrews, talks about Jesus as high priest. And one of the things it says about him is that he has been tempted. He said, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And we're going to talk about that. And I think that's helpful to realize when we are tempted. And as Kyle said, that's when we feel like, I can't go to God now. I can't invite God into this. This is ugly. This temptation is not godly. We have to remember that, no, Jesus has been here. He came to be in the middle of that. And incredibly, we can meet him in the middle of that. That would be the ultimate, and God's good at this, right? He's good at ultimate reversals. That would be the ultimate reversal, wouldn't it? If the enemy came and said, I'm going to do everything I can to tempt them to sexual sin, and God said, okay, I'm going to meet them in your temptation. They're going to meet with me, and they're going to get to know me better, and it's actually going to work to glorify me, not your purpose. That would be the ultimate reversal. So that's what I pray that we would have. I want to give you a time. We'll take about 5 minutes of just, we do this before, of a personal silence meditation where you are saying to the Lord, Lord, I want to know from you how in this area of my life, wherever I'm at, I can meet you in this. We want to be a church and a body that is helping one another to be victorious, that women's theme. We want to be victorious in this area. And a lot of people in the churches, and we're no different, in our culture are not being victorious in this, okay? But we want to believe that we can be, but we know it's not going to be what we do. It's what we discover God does. So ask the Lord, where are you going to meet me in this? If you end up talking about this in home group, you're like, I strongly suggest if you do this, you separate into men and women to allow people to talk about it on that level. And I think it could be actually very valuable. But remember, the key is that in this area of temptation, it doesn't mean we're separated from God. You can actually meet him. And we're going to look at that a little bit more next week in Hebrews. So we're going to take some time, personal meditation, and we'll close with some worship, and hopefully close being able to worship God, the God who can meet us in the midst of these kind of struggles and temptations. Lord, we are grateful that you, Jesus, our high priest, you came and you experienced every temptation, it says. So there's nothing that surprises you. There's nothing that shocks you. There's nothing that you can't be around. You can be around it. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring your presence in and you would help us to recognize what is it that we truly desire and how is it that you, Lord, have created that as a good desire. I pray over each one of us now individually. Holy Spirit, come and minister to us personally and in a way that's deeply meaningful to us. Lord, we invite your word to open up our hearts. It says it divides our hearts down to the very depths. We want to be with you in that, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you do some work in each one of us to help us start on a path where this becomes an area that you are glorified and you are magnified in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord, we do want to give you all that we are, including all of our desires that you've put within us, Lord. And the Lord reminded me during our time of meditation how we began this service. Lorenzo talked about from 2 Corinthians where Paul comes with that messenger of Satan. He says, take it away. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And if we apply that passage to what we've just talked about, it has a whole new meaning, doesn't it? So let's not run away from our weaknesses. Let's bring them to the Lord and say, perfect your power in me, Lord. So Lord, as a body, we give ourselves to you to watch that power be perfected in us. We want to say no to all shame. Lord, we want to say yes for all appropriate, godly sharing that you want to do within our body about this. And we ask for that, Lord. We ask that this be a place where we are able to bring our weakness and we are to find your power, Lord. And we can then stand and pour forth and stand on our salvation, Lord. In Jesus' name.